Psalm 11, verse 1. Let's read together the Lord's word. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I hope you've had a wonderful Canada Day and that you are back into the full swing of things with the help of the Lord today. Here on Let the Bible Speak, we are coming to the second part of that message that we aired yesterday on if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And praise God, we can do a whole lot. We can be living witnesses even in the midst of darkness, and the Lord gives us a mandate to do that and power to do it. And so we invite you to stay tuned with us right through the program today as we let the Bible speak on Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, in these days of computers and digital storage, people talk about storing their information in the cloud, where it can be accessed and where, of course, it can be uncorrupted. It's safer in the cloud than sitting in some little storage device that we might have at home or in an office. It's all about security. It's all about accessibility. It's all about information that is going to be there when you need it. Well, our Bible is stored in the cloud, in the heavens. God has exalted his word above his name in the heavens, and it is unchangeable. Man may think he can change, but God's name is unchangeable. And by the way, the Bible is in the cloud as well. The Bible is downloadable almost anywhere around the world. Never has there been an age where the Word of God is more accessible than now. You can buy a new device, go to any part of the world and download the Bible. What a wonderful thing. And the Bible is still the best-selling book in the world. Now, the versions of the Bible, that's another story. But the Bible is still the Word of God, and it's unchangeable. And our children need it. Our grandchildren need it. The youth in our country need it. What we need in Canada is the preaching, teaching, foundation of the Word of God. And we need to pray earnestly that God may be pleased to do that. Now, there's another foundation that I want to speak of, and that is the foundation of the doctrine of justification by faith alone. This is the bedrock doctrine of the gospel. The reason why we are rejoicing in grace, that we are made righteous, is because God, through the work of Christ, through the atoning blood that he shed at the cross, when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are declared righteous, justified,
on the basis of our faith alone, without anything else. And that was the Reformation doctrine. It was the doctrine preached in revival times. And it's a doctrine that will never grow old. And no matter what societal norms develop, no matter what evil is spread, no matter what sin needs to be confessed, we can preach justification by faith alone. And that must be your foundation for your Christian life. This doctrine has been called the standing or falling doctrine for the Christian and for the church. If you're looking for a church, it must preach justification by faith alone. If you want to have a Christian profession, to have peace with God, you need to rest on that foundation, being justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, in the cross work alone. That is the gospel. And no matter how dark and evil days become, this gospel of justification by faith alone shall still stand. One more thing as a foundation, and that is that the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in the world shall never fail. We learned that last Sunday evening when we looked at John 14:16. When God said he would send another comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom ye shall have forever. And while there is a Christian on the earth, while there is a Christian church on the earth, while there is a gathering of God's people, while there is a testimony for the Lord Jesus, we have the help of another comforter who is promised unto us. Are we strong enough to face the wicked world? Are we strong enough to hold up a testimony in this world that hates Christ and grace? Not at all. But we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, and he is our comforter. The word means that he comes alongside to help. And we are promised by the Lord that we will have the help. When we are called upon to testify and to give account for the hope that is within us, the Holy Spirit will speak through us. He will give us a boldness. He will give us the words. He will give us the countenance. He'll give us the testimony that we need to stand up for the Lord Jesus. So what can the righteous do? The righteous can take hope that there are foundations immovable. God himself, our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then justification by faith, the help of the Holy Spirit. All of these are immovable. All of these are steadfast forever. And we can take hope in that. One more thing. We need to rally together in gospel fellowship of the Lord's church. As the world and the church becomes more polarized, and we're seeing it every day, the distance between the lifestyle of the worldly and the lifestyle of the Bible-taught Christian, it is going further and further apart. And there is more division, misunderstanding, bitterness, hostility, hatred of godliness. And it's then that the doctrine of separation, that is, that God calls us out from the world to live godly in Christ Jesus, just as Abram was called out of Ur of Chaldees, just as Paul was called out of the false Judaism, just as many in the Bible were called to leave the world and to live a new life. That call is all the more required, not only in church ecclesiology, but in personal separation. You can't mingle with the godly, enjoying their pleasures of sin, and live the Christian life. You can't do it. In the first century, Christians needed to be told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And I almost wonder why they needed to be told. Because in the first century, you had Christians in the catacombs, underground in Rome. They were living there in fear of their lives. They formed Christian communities. They had little churches, church life. They had baptisms, communion, church fellowship together. Why? Because in a sense, they were driven to it. They were driven from the comforts of life, from a seeming friendship of the world, to the confines of professing Christians who understood the way they thought, the way they worshiped, and why they would not surrender the name of Jesus in the Roman world. Now, as the powers of secularism are at work throughout Canada, from Quebec, with its proposals to remove all religious symbolism, to the whole Canadian school system, where from coast to coast, the Ten Commandments are forbidden, but the most diabolical sex ed program is mandatory, even in the junior classes. Youth are growing up in a secular Canada. More and more, the pressure will build to rule out every semblance of Christianity, especially in this nation. Now, some religions are evolutionary based. They happily fall into the category that we were spawned from some lower order. They do not teach that there's a judgment day, that Christ is coming again, that this world is headed for judgment. They have a religion that is appealing to the carnal mind, and they become somewhat acceptable. But when you preach the gospel of Christ, when we lay hold upon the doctrines that Jesus is the Son of God, he's the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by him, and that he's coming again, and he will judge all men by his power and glory, this gospel is going to be hated, and the squeeze is on. But that's when the church must rally. That's when the people of God must come out from that society and join ranks as the people of God to encourage one another, stand with one another, pray for one another, and build up one another in the faith. And when we see our fellow brothers and sisters hurting and under pressure, we need to be by their side, holding them up and encouraging them through the trials of life. We need the prayers, the presence, the encouragements of one another. Just as the clouds of persecution, not necessarily the persecutions of the sword, but of spite and vilification, they gather, we need more and more the communion of saints. Simply put, I need you, and you need me all the more. We can't afford to live at a distance. We can't afford to ignore one another as believers in Christ. We must come together. Is there not a cause? When the angels went towards Sodom and Gomorrah, Abram went to prayer. He pleaded for the righteous. And he prayed that God's people would be spared. We know that those angels dragged Lot and his family out, at least some of the members. And we as Christians must recognize that we are living in days when we have a ministry of survival for the people of God. That brother, sister, the world will choke and strangle if left to themselves. And we need to come alongside. We need great grace today to preach the gospel to sinners. And I'm speaking now of some of the deepest dyed, vilest sins that any people can commit. We need to preach to them. We need to love them as Christ loves sinners. If a bunch of queer people arrived in our church service today, we must thank God for that. We must look upon it as a wonderful opportunity to preach Christ to them, because it's Christ they need. We need not only to do so in words, but in demonstration of love, that they might be pulled out of the fire, delivered from their sins, and brought to know the Savior. Now we must do that without lowering the standard, without dropping the word repentance, without changing the gospel an iota, because they did so in the first century, when such sins were the common practice. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are justified." Wouldn't that be a great testimony to see such sinners delivered and brought out of their ways of sin? In this church, we preach the doctrine of man's total depravity. That means man is capable of the deepest, vilest sins imaginable. And left to himself, he will certainly go there. Now we've got to preach the gospel that matches depravity, and that is the miracle of the new birth. Ye must be born again. Ye can be born again. You can have a new heart. You can have a new nature. You can live a new life. You are not left to perish when Christ is calling you to full salvation. Now, the benefit of looking back over church history is that we learn that the church has been threatened by deep sins and opposition many times before. The church often goes in cycles. You read the book of Judges, and you will find that every 40 years or so, there was the cycle of a people who had turned to God, living in blessing. And then there's the spiritual decline. The enemy comes in. They're in bondage. They cry out for a deliverer. God hears and delivers his people. And over and over and over again, the people go through that pattern. But God always comes through in mercy. He sends deliverers, judges, they're called in the book of Judges. But they are all pictures of our Savior, our deliverer. He is the one who is our Samson. He is the one who comes to set his people free and give us power to live for God against all the enemies of his church. And so we need to look to our deliverer. We need to be a praying people, an earnest people. We need to be living in the hope that God is not done with his church. The end is not yet. One of my points today was that a foundation that cannot be destroyed is the Bible as the Word of God. It cannot be destroyed. And there was an illustration I was going to use at that point that I decided to keep till now at the end. And it is the well-known account of Voltaire's home being used as a depository for Bibles. Now, as I looked into this, and I've heard that story, I've told that story a number of times, but there is a counter argument that it was not Voltaire's home in France or Paris, that he also had a home in Geneva, and it was there that a Bible organization used that home to store and sell Bibles. And so I will concede that it may be Geneva, not Paris, that was true, but it was still true. The man whose name is infamous to rob the nation of the name and the truth of God, that his house somewhere should be used for the publication and dissemination of the Word of God, that's God's laugh. He sitteth in the heavens, and he shall laugh at the wicked. I'm glad today that I'm a gospel preacher. We will never be famous in the eyes of men. We will never have the well done of earthly, ungodly men. But we have the light of the Lord's countenance. I just rejoice in verse 7. For the Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Is that not the bedrock, the foundation for happy living? I read a comment that there is no happy queer. I use quotes. I shy from the term, but we have to use the terms that are around today. There are no happy people who fall into that lifestyle. The pride parade is not a festivity, it's a protest. It's man in his defiance because he's unhappy. There is no foundation for peace in the ways of sin. What can the righteous do? Thank God we're righteous. Thank God for foundations that will never move. And thank God that we have a message to bring miserable sinners into the wonderful enjoyment of a true purpose to live for God with his smile. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe you're here today and you've fallen into the ways of sin and you're miserable. You are absolutely miserable. Your conscience gives you no rest day nor night. But if you will come to the cross, be washed in the blood of Jesus, there is peace and there is true happiness in holiness for you by being made righteous by faith in Christ. Are you saved? Enjoying your salvation? This is the wonder of it. What can the righteous do? We can enjoy the presence, the smile of God day by day, even as our heart hurts for the world and the lost. Never lose our joy of what the Lord has done for us. Would you say with me at the close of this message, there go I, but for the grace of God. All together, there go I, but for the grace of God. That's the wonderful side to be on, and to have the countenance of the Lord shining upon you.
Thank you for listening in to Let the Bible Speak here today. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and if I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. And all the details of the email, the website, and our phone numbers coming up. Also of our address, if you wish to write me. Look forward to hearing from you. I always take delight in hearing from our listeners, just to know you're listening in, and I trust that God is blessing you. And I hope that over these days of this pandemic, well, it's going on into weeks and months now, and it truly is getting wearisome. But we pray that the Lord in His grace will keep each one safe, and that He will give you grace and joy even as you wait on the Lord. Let's unite in prayer and ask for His help. Father, we thank Thee for that there is grace with Thee. You've bidden us to come to Thy throne boldly, that we may find grace and help in time of need. And Lord, these are days of great need for Your people. There are many things that we have to be exceedingly careful with, even as we gather together at church, and we pray that You would be with Your people, that You would help each one to search the Scriptures, to spend time in prayer, to grow in grace, and to be living daily witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And so we thank Thee for this message today on the foundations. If the righteous foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We thank You, Lord, that You're on the throne and You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So hear our cry and prayer. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.